Yes, giving praise to God. I'd like to give something back for that meal. And this song here is called Heavenly Grocery Store. I was walking down life's highway a long time ago, and one day I saw a sign that read, Helvin Grocery Store. Hey, as I got a little closer, the doors opened wide. And when I came to myself, you know what? I was standing inside. I found out I was standing in the Heavenly Grocery Store. Listening to this. First, I got some patience. Love was in the same row. Further down was understanding. You need that everywhere you go. I stopped to get a bag or two of wisdom, a cup of box or two of faith, but I just couldn't resist the Holy Ghost. For it was all over the place. My soul got happy while I was in that heavenly, heavenly grocery store. I felt my basket was getting full. But I remembered I needed some grace. I didn't forget salvation, for salvation is always real. So I tried to get enough of that to save both you and me while I was in that heavenly, heavenly grocery store. I said to him, my Lord, how much do I really, really owe? He said to me, my child, Jesus paid your bill a long, long time ago. Everything is free right here in this heavenly, heavenly grocery store. Everything is free in the heavenly grocery store. All you got to do is just trust in the Lord, and he will provide. He will provide. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but But now I see through men the dangers tossed and snared. I have already become His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home when we've been there 10,000 years. Bright shining as the sun, we know last day to see God's praise. And when we both be gone, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen.
Good morning, Church at Southside family. How are we doing today? Good to see you. My brother that just finished singing said, I just want to give something back. I love that heart. I love that spirit. And we're going to spend a little time in the Word today. So I hope you've had a chance to eat your spaghetti. Anybody like the spaghetti today? Say amen. If you like the spaghetti, that was good. Spaghetti and salad. We had some friends of Keith and Jamie that helped serve that today, so that's a blessing. Before we have someone else come up and sing for us, I want to just go over a few administrative things, just so you know kind of what's happening. I know today is December, what is today? The 12th, yeah, the 12th. So next Sunday, so December the 19th, next Sunday, you're going to want to come back and be here because we're going to be giving out Christmas gifts. We're a family, right? We're a church family. So we're going to be giving out some gifts next Sunday. Make sure you tell your friends, tell everybody to come back, and we'll be handing out some Christmas gifts. We'll also have our food available next Sunday. I don't know exactly what we're having, but it'll be good. I know that'll be a blessing. So make sure you come back next Sunday. And then also, we will be here again on December 26th as well. So, but we're going to be passing out our Christmas gifts on December 19th. So make sure you come back next Sunday. Bring a friend. Invite them to come to church at Southside. Like I said, Keith and Jamie, they are in the mountains away for the weekend, but they'll be back next Sunday. So just keep them in your prayers. And they had some friends that came and helped serve the food today, which was a blessing. Also, the church where I used to serve, Crossbridge, their children's ministry is bringing some things for you today. So after our time in the Word, just make sure that you line up for the supplies that we'll pass out. And then make sure you share some smiles and share some love with people from Crossbridge. It's a wonderful, wonderful church, and their children's ministry wanted to just remember you and give some gifts to you today. So just know that. So we're going to have another song. We're going to have Lo and Hattie come and sing for us. And then after that, we'll get into the Word today. So Lo and Hattie, if y'all want to come and sing, it'd be great. Here comes Miss Hattie. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm going to let my mama sing as I sing this song. My mother has reached that beautiful city. My father still walking in sin. My sister and my brother were on me. Sometimes I'm tired and driven. Sometimes I don't know where to run. Cause I dream of a city called heaven. And I'm trying to make heaven my home. Tell me what is a comment makes my blood. Some of it made my blood run chill and cold. Sometimes I'm tired and driven. Sometimes I don't know where to run. Cause I dream of a city called heaven. And I'm trying to make heaven my home. Don't run to Robinson.
Hallelujah. Dale and I said, stand up here and not give God the praise this morning. So I just want to say thank you, Lord, for another day. I can't let a day go by without praising your name. Oh, no, 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 no. I can't forget. From when I can't let a day go by without counting your cross. Oh no, I can't let a day go by without praising your name. I went through the fire, I went through the flood, and like a good soldier, Lord, you know I've been tried, but I've got a story that's gotta be told. You brought me out as pure gold. Now I just can't keep it to myself. I've got to run, 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 and tell somebody else. Tell them to hold on and be strong. Lord, you still on the throne. Now I can't let a day go by without praising your name. Oh, no, 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 no. I can't forget from when I can't let a day go by without counting your cross. I can't let a day go by without praising your name. And I don't want to let a day go by without praising your name. Hallelujah, Lord. I can't let a day go by without praising your name.
Can we praise God for people that praise his name? Amen. Amen. That's good. I love that this church is not really centered around one person or personality. The head of this church is Jesus. Amen. And when people are moved by the Spirit to share what God puts on their hearts, that's what makes Jesus smile. And that's what Jesus sees as beautiful. And so we love when folks share the gifts that they've been given. And I appreciate everybody that shared songs this morning. So let's spend some time in God's Word today. We're going to, at the end of our time in the Word, we're going to take communion together. And what I want to talk about today is just centered around communion, around what it means to share and have a seat at the table sharing communion with each other. We've been in the book of Ephesians talking about unity, right? All of us making sure that we're getting along, that we're unified, that we stand together in unity. And I don't think there's anything better than communion to just remind us that we all have a seat at the table. Amen. Everybody has a seat at the table. God's table is long and broad, and there's no kids' table and adults' table. It's all one table, and you've got a seat there. So whenever we do take communion, I never really know what you've experienced when it comes to communion. There are a lot of different ways, different things that have happened in over time with different churches, different traditions, and those are beautiful. But if you don't know, or if you haven't been to church much, or if you've had different experiences with communion, you may not know that communion started with Jesus. And the very last night of his life on earth, he wanted to celebrate the Passover, which goes back to the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. Remember the 10 plagues where God, through Moses, delivered the children of Israel, and year after year, they had a celebration, a feast called the Passover, where they would just remember that deliverance that God gave them. Well, Jesus wanted to celebrate the Passover. He was a Jewish man, and so he had his disciples prepare a meal. So just like we've eaten spaghetti today, all of the people around Jesus sat down for a meal together. And during this meal, during this Passover feast, Jesus took some bread, which is something that would be common, basic, that everybody would have. And he lifted up the bread and he said, "This is my body." Okay? And then he took wine, or we use grape juice. It would be something that was common to every single household. And he said, "This is my blood given for you." And all of these, this account is found in every single gospel. And different gospels give different details about this beautiful meal that Jesus was celebrating. But I'm sure that the people that were in the audience didn't really know exactly what he was doing. I want to read the account from Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. It says, "During the Passover meal, Jesus took and blessed the bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. And he told them, he said, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' And then he's taking the cup and thanking God, he gave it to them and he said, 'Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, God's new covenant poured out for many people for the forgiveness of sins. I'll not be drinking wine from this cup again until the new day when I'll drink it with you in the kingdom of my Father.'" So that's where communion started, where Jesus just took bread and wine, something basic that everybody would have. And he said, this is my body, which is going to be broken for you. And just a few hours later, it was broken for them. And he said, "This is my blood that is going to be spilled for you." And just a few hours later, it was spilled. And that was how communion started. Now, can you imagine being one of the 12 disciples there, listening to what Jesus was saying? You probably have no idea that he's getting ready to give his life. You don't know that that's what's going to happen. And so you may be a little confused. You may not know what was going on. But then after the death of Jesus, that communion meal, that celebration that Jesus instituted and orchestrated was the thing that just kept going on and on, along with all the other things that happened after the death of Jesus, this communion meal. And so we see that the early church, they, in Acts chapter 20, on the first day of the week, they would get together, and one of the things, other than just worshiping and singing, that they would do is take communion. It would help them remember what Jesus did on the cross. Now, just like what happens with all of us over the years, and as people were doing communion, it began to be abused. In 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church, they were leaving some people out of the communion time. They weren't letting everybody have a seat at the table. And what Jesus, what Paul said when he wrote the letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, he said, that's not the way that you should do this. This is a common meal, but it's a solemn meal. We need to attach reverence to it. We need to be thinking about what Jesus did for us on the cross. And the way that he begins to talk about communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is, he said, on the night that Jesus was betrayed. Did you hear that? On the night that Jesus was betrayed. Sometimes we might have an idea of the last meal of Jesus. Everybody's sitting around, maybe like what it's like for our Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner. Everybody's in a good mood. Everybody's nice. And I'm sure that that was part of it. But also there was this hint of scandal, of betrayal. Jesus served Judas communion. Jesus served Judas communion. Now think about this. In you in your life, have you ever felt betrayed? I'm sure everybody could raise your hand and think, oh my goodness, you know, we've had the sting and the pain of that betrayal. Well, so did Jesus. Yet Jesus created a place at the table for Judas, what some might call even his worst enemy. So he was living out what he talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, to love your enemies, which to me is one of the hardest things to do as a Christian. But he still served communion to Judas. So even though Jesus knew that Judas would betray him, he served him communion. He still had a place at the table. Now that didn't change the circumstances of what Judas did. He still chose to betray Jesus. But isn't that a beautiful picture of a love, of the love that only God can show? That God was willing to even serve his betrayer communion. So if you've maybe felt betrayed, maybe there's somebody in this parking lot that you felt betrayed by, you still have a seat at the table. They still have a seat at the table. And the call of God for all of us as Christians is to love our enemies, not just by what we say, but by what we do, right? And so communion reminds us of that. It's hard to do that on your own strength. Anybody have the just personal strength to love your enemies? I know I don't. That's not something that comes naturally to me. And so we have to literally take in Jesus, kind of like what we do in communion. We take in Jesus, and when we do that, he empowers us through his Spirit to love and to serve the way that we should and the way that we can. All the glory goes to him. All the honor goes to him. It's his work in us, but that's what the call for us to do is. So if you felt betrayed, communion is for you today. Even for your, what you might call your enemy, communion is for them today. And it is at the table of Jesus in communion where we are reminded that we are one, church. We are reminded that we are one, even in all of our faults, even in all of our failures, even in all of our sins. So today when we pass out the communion, we're going to have just a small, it's just a little thing that has the bread and the juice together. It just looks like this. We're going to have volunteers pass this out. I want you to take this, and it's got a little piece of bread on the top of it, so you may have to take the plastic and open it up. It's got a little piece of bread and then just a little bit of grape juice. So we're going to pass those out in just a minute. But probably the most important thing that you will do today, although we've had a lot of important things go on with people singing and people sharing, the most important thing that you will do today is to you yourself spend time with God in communion. And I just want to give you two things that I hope you will consider as you take communion today. Number one, let Jesus see you. Everybody point to your eyes. Everybody just point to your eyes for a second, okay? Let Jesus see you during communion. Let Jesus see you. Now, some of you might say, let Jesus see me. I already know he sees me. One of the qualities that we've learned about God is that he's everywhere. He sees everything. And you know what? That used to kind of freak me out a little bit. I mean, even now we sing Christmas songs about Santa Claus. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. You know, somebody that can see everything about us. Sometimes that can be a little unnerving, right? But the older I get, the more I see that Jesus seeing me is so beautiful. Even my sins, even my struggles, he sees those, yes, but he still calls me to communion, that you have a seat at the table, you have a place at the table. Even my sins, even my struggles, even my failures that God does see does not keep me from having a place at his table. And it is, as we take communion, a thing of beauty to say, Jesus, here I am. Ugliness and all, the good parts of me and everybody that's in this parking lot has good parts about them. The bad parts of me and every single one of us in this parking lot has things that we struggle with. While we take communion, we can just say, Jesus, see me. And the good news is, he does. Like everything that has gone on today in this parking lot, every single thing that has happened, whether it comes to people giving a plate of spaghetti, people giving salad, people serving drinks, people singing their hearts out to God, that is a sign that Jesus says, I see you. You are not forgotten. You are not unseen. I see you. I know your struggles. And for today, for this hour, I have provided my blessings for you. That's why we're here. That's what the church is supposed to be and do. And that's what we are as a family here at the Church of Southside. We see each other. We say, because Jesus sees us, all right? So as you take communion, just say, Jesus, just say, here I am, okay? That's where it starts. So Jesus, see me, okay? And then everybody make a sign of a heart. I can't do it because I'm holding my, just make a sign of a heart. So Jesus, see me, and then Jesus, love me, okay? Jesus, love me. Who sang Jesus loves me? Somebody's got to sing that one morning for us, Jesus loves me. It's the most beautiful song. Yes, yes. It's the most beautiful song. It's so simple, but so profound. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. From Genesis to Revelation, every single verse is the love of Jesus saying, I love you. I see you, and I also love you. We're in Ephesians. I want to just read Ephesians chapter 5. I know we're going backwards a little bit, but this is such a beautiful text that we've already looked at. But I just want to remind you as we prepare to take communion, for Jesus to love us, to see us and to love us. This is just Ephesians 5, verse 1. It says this, watch what God does and then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Did you hear that? Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. Listen to this, church. His love was not cautious but extravagant. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Did you hear that? He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. And the three most beautiful words of that scripture is this. Love like that. Everybody say that with me. Love like that. Amen. That is the call of the love of Jesus. So during communion, while we take this, we're going to play a song just so you can spend. It's just about a 3-minute song. We're just going to play it. And I just want you, whenever you're ready, to take the bread and the fruit of the vine. Laura, if you could get our volunteers to pass out the communion. My wife, Laura. Laura, raise your hand. She's going to be passing out communion. Some of our friends are going to be passing out. Everybody make sure you get one of these things, okay? It's just got the bread and the fruit of the vine, okay? While we play this song, I just want you to spend some time with you. It's very short, just 3 minutes. There's going to be other stuff going on around the parking lot. Don't let that distract you, okay? But just spend 3 minutes, and I encourage you to let God see you, okay? Let God see you. And let God love you right where you are, because he does. That's what communion reminds us of. Jesus gave his body and his blood because he sees us and he loves us, okay? He sees us and he loves us. So the song that we're about to play is from my favorite band called Need to Breathe. I just love this group. And the name of the song is called I Am Yours, okay? And I want to just, I know that it's not a very fast song. You can probably understand all of the words of it. But it is a beautiful song to help you be seen and be loved by God. But the song is called I Am Yours. And the lyrics are this. Sometimes I'm under starlit skies. Have you ever seen a starlit sky? But I'm feeling more like dirt. How do I forget so fast who you are and what that's worth? Because there's an evidence of you in every corner of this life. So why am I still trying to prove that I don't deserve your time? Because I am yours, and you will always be mine. It seems like madness, I'm invited to the table by your side. I am yours, and you will always be mine. I am yours. So let's pray. We'll listen to this song and then just take communion when you're ready. Will you pray with me? Father, we love you, and I pray during this time of communion that we'll examine ourselves. We know that we are sinners. None of us are hiding that fact. But we know that that does not disqualify us from a seat at your table. So I pray as we listen to this song that we will take in the body of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the body that was broken for us. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the blood that was shed, which gives us forgiveness of sins. All of those sins, all of those struggles, all of those mistakes, maybe some that we committed last night that we're still feeling the effects of this morning, we know that that does not disqualify us from a seat at the table. So we take our seat at the table. We take our seat, and I pray that as we take this communion, as we take the body and blood of Jesus, I pray that you will see us and that you will love us. In Jesus' name, may all of God's people say together, amen. Let's spend some time taking communion. Thank you, friends, for this time of communion. We're going to have Miss Jocelyn come and say our closing prayer, and then we'll pass out our gifts for today. I hope you had a good time with communion. So, Jocelyn, if you could come and pray for us. Jesse, did you say Jocelyn was going to come pray? I'm sorry. Yes, excuse me. Sorry.
Jocelyn, calling Jocelyn. Jocelyn, you're up, baby. Come on up. Jocelyn wanted to say a prayer for us real quick. Come on up, pretty girl. You want me to stand here with you?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
God, thank you for letting us live this morning, wake up this morning. God, thank you for letting us stand up and live our lives. God, thank you for letting us live for who we are, and thank us. God, thank us for letting us get paid, get our bill, get clothes, get cars. And then, God, thank you for letting us be okay, see the people we need to see. And, I don't know what else.
Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you. All right, who's up? Who's doing the... Yes, I have her.